This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wal 'aqibatu lil muttaqin wal 'udwana illa 'alal zalimin. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu ilahul awwalin wal akhirin. واشهد ان نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الامين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد. Welcome to another episode of our tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we're on page 163, which is in towards the very beginning of the ninth juz of the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf. In the previous episode we mentioned the second half of the story of the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wassalam and his nation, the people of Madian. And in the episode before that, we had mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to the people of Madian this prophet from amongst themselves, Shu'aib alayhi salam. And the people of Madian were known for their shirk, meaning they were people who didn't worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, but they were also known for their poor business dealings and the way that they would cheat people financially and to take them and devour their wealth in a way that was haram. Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the previous episode that we mentioned, tells us then the way that they responded to Shu'aib alayhi salam. And it is as those who preceded before them also did. It is a way of rejection, a way of denial, a way of threatening punishment and violence upon the believers and the prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam. And so Shu'aib alayhi salam responds and he says, "We are people who would never leave our religion because Allah saved us from what you're upon. But rather Allah will judge between us and you, and we trust upon him subhanahu wa ta'ala." They then tried to dissuade the masses from following Shu'aib alayhi salam, and Allah azza wa jalla destroyed their disbelievers with a severe earthquake or a seizing of the earth, and that caused them all to be destroyed. And Allah Azza wa Jalla then gave to us these principles, that no prophet was sent to a people except that those people had to endure hardship and difficulty, and after that hardship and difficulty they also had times of ease, and all of these are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps they will turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal, perhaps they will show some humility and humbleness before him, perhaps they will think and reflect upon their purpose and reason for creation, their purpose upon this earth. And if they don't and they turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah Azza wa Jal destroys them and he causes them to be punished. From the special characteristics of this ummah, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla that he wouldn't destroy his ummah, his nation, the way that he destroyed the nations who came before, meaning in a single go, in a single blast, in a single punishment and taking or striking of punishment, the way that the people of Salih and Hud and Lut and Shu'aib and these people that we mentioned in the previous episodes, the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla granted this dua to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why that threat of overcoming, whelming punishment upon all of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of his nation, meaning not the Muslims, but the nation in the widest sense, that all of the people that are invited to the message of Islam, the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is something which won't take place for this ummah. And that is from the favors that were granted by Allah Azza wa Jalla to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But people are still punished in their own ways. There can be minor or smaller punishments on smaller scales, as we see often throughout the earth in wars and in other natural disasters. And at the time of death, people are punished in the way that their soul will be extracted and their journey to the hereafter. We continue today from verse number 96, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which he is speaking about his punishment. Now, after mentioning the majority of these stories, and that is the story of Nuh, and the story of Hud, and the story of Salih, and the story of Lut, and the story of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jal will now give to us an overview of how the people used to respond and how Allah Azza wa Jal dealt with those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 96, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون. If the people of those towns had believed and been mindful of Allah, we would have showered them with blessings from the heavens and the earth. but they rejected the truth, and so we punish them for their misdeeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if only those people had believed, if only those people had accepted the message that was given to them, if only they had responded to their prophets in a positive way, if only they had iman, wattaqaw, and they feared Allah Azza wa Jal, they were conscious of Allah, so they worshipped Him alone, and they performed all of the acts of worship sincerely for Him, and they did as Allah commanded, and they fulfilled obligations that Allah placed upon them. If they had done this, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, then we would have opened upon them and showered upon them the blessings of the heavens and the earth. Allah Azza wa Jal says that we would have given to them goodness. We would have given to them the blessings of the dunya. We would have given to them blessings from above them and blessings from beneath them. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal does for the believers. And when the believers, whether it's an individual or a family or a community, when they are believers, Allah Azza wa Jal showers His blessings upon them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forsakes the mu'mineen. Allah Azza wa Jal gives to them that which they need in order for them to continue to worship Him and to gain the reward of the Akhirah. And sometimes that is materialistic wealth, but sometimes it's not necessarily materialistic wealth, because we know, for example, many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were poor and needy. Some of them were destitute and homeless. But Allah Azza wa Jal gave to them blessings and honors and bounties in terms of the iman that they had, in terms of the inner peace and tranquility that they had, in terms of the contentment and happiness that they experienced. So the things of the dunya to them were irrelevant. Those issues were not major issues to them. And so Allah Azza wa Jal gives to people different blessings in different ways. And that is why when the whole community is one of believers, then Allah Azza wa Jal showers His blessings upon that whole community. Meaning as a community, they will benefit. There will be enough of them that are wealthy and prosperous that they will help those who are less wealthy and prosperous. And there are enough of them who have iman and knowledge and taqwa that they will benefit those who are maybe more busy in terms of gaining their wealth and their businesses and so on. And so Allah Azza wa Jal brings that community together. And this is something which we see a very good example of in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the companions, especially once they come to Medina and now it becomes a Muslim state. That's something which is very, very apparent, and not only in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that continues for many, many generations in the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, but even in the Umayyad and the Abbasid dynasties for a great period of history. The way that the Muslims flourished in different parts of the world, and the knowledge that they had, and the ilm, the knowledge of Islamic knowledge, but other knowledge as well, that became prevalent amongst them, that is something which we find in the books of history. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that's all that they had to do, and Allah would have given to them the blessings of the dunya and the blessings of the akhirah that they would have once they turn back to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, or return back to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. But what did they do instead? They rejected. They denied. They turned away from Allah Azza wa Jal. They disbelieved. Instead of believing in the promises of Allah and hoping for Allah's reward in this life and the next, they chose to believe the promises of Iblis and to only have the rewards of the dunya. And even then, not all of them get the reward of the dunya. Because if you look at all of the disbelieving people, they're not all rich, they're not all prosperous. Many of them are going through exactly the same struggles as the believers in terms of their health and in terms of their finances and in terms of their issues of family and so on. They're going through the same things. Yes, they drown their sorrows in different ways. They have less of that moral compass or of halal and haram. And so they will drink and they will do drugs and they will do other things that we wouldn't even think of doing because our religion tells us not to do so. So they have a different way of dealing with that issue. But in terms of the challenges that they face, it's not the case that all of the non-Muslims are people who are always having happiness or always have the blessings of the dunya, always have wealth. Yes, amongst them there are many who have that, but not all of them. And so Allah Azza wa Jal tests people in different ways. And it is not always the case that the Muslim has to be poor or in a state of difficulty and the disbeliever is the one who is not. But for both of those people, it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these people denied and they rejected. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. So Allah Azza wa Jal says that we punish them for their misdeeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 97, أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. Do the people of these towns feel secure that our punishment will not come upon them by night whilst they are asleep? Do they feel secure that Allah Azza wa Jal wouldn't have punished them during the night? Do they think when Allah threatens them with punishment that it will come with a big warning, that they will know when it's going to come, the time and the place and the exact moment when it will strike, so that they can prepare themselves? Don't they know that Allah Azza wa Jal could destroy them whilst they sleep? Meaning that they're completely oblivious to what's going around them. They're not even conscious. They don't even know what's happening. And the destruction of Allah could come upon them. And we don't even need the stories of these prophets to know that that is the case. We just need to look at the world around us. We need to look at, we know stories, and we all know and are familiar with people who have died in their sleep. Not necessarily as a punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal, but they died in their sleep and they weren't conscious. They didn't know. They went to sleep one night, thinking that they would wake up the next day and go to work and do their family chores and do A, B, C, and D. But Allah Azza wa Jalla then decreed that they would sleep at night. And we know from the world that we live in that there are people who sleep at night, and during that night, some calamity befalls them. A fire breaks out. An earthquake strikes. Some other natural disaster falls upon them, and they die. They lose their lives. There is destruction all around that place because of something that strikes in the depths of the night. And there are very many recent incidents that you will see in which that was the case. Never think that you are safe from Allah's decree or Allah's punishment or Allah's judgment just because you don't see the signs, just because you're not prepared, just because you don't have the warning that you expect that you will be given. And this is one of the ways the shaitan manipulates people, and he plays with them. Because we're told that the average lifespan of a person is 70 years old, 80 years old, wherever it may be. And so all of us in the back of our mind, all of us, we have that expectation that we will live around that age. It's close to that age. My father lived till he was 70. So most likely I will live till I am 70. The people around me, even though we all know people that die in infancy, have died in the prime of their youth, died in their teenage years, died all around us for a variety of reasons. But for some reason, shaitan manipulates us and makes us think that that won't be me. Yes, them and her and him and yes, but not me. I am the exception to that rule. But clearly everyone cannot be the exception to that rule, because many people thought that they were exception to the rules, and they weren't exceptions to that rule. And me and you may well live, and Allah knows best that we will live to a long life. Allah knows best, but that is not a guarantee that you have. And that is where Allah Azza wa Jalla says that you should never feel secure. Never feel secure from this. In verse 98, Allah Azza wa Jalla then continues and he says, the opposite is also true. أَوَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Do the people of these towns feel secure that our punishment will not come upon them by day whilst they are playing? Meaning whilst they are enjoying their lives. And Allah Azza wa Jal calls it play because that's what it is. Even though they're working and they're toiling and they got families, but it is play because it is not the reason for which Allah created them. It is not the purpose of their creation. And because they are oblivious of it, then what they are doing in this world is equivalent to play. Meaning it doesn't benefit them, won't bring them anything. Doesn't bring them closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, won't give them any means of success or salvation. Do they think that just because they're busy in their daily chores, that nothing will happen to them? Just because you're at work, you're safe from dying or from having some calamity strike you? Just because you're out with your family, or you're on holiday, or you're doing the chores, or you're out shopping, or you're doing whatever it may be, all of those mundane tasks that all of us do each and every single day, day in, day out, don't think that the punishment of Allah only will come when there's a big mass warning, or you can see the plain signs in front of you, or it's going to be at a time and you're expecting it to strike. No, that's not always the case. In fact, for many people, it is not the case at all. So those people of the past also thought the same. When they thought that the punishment of Allah was going to come, they were expecting some major sign to come. And they were given signs because their prophets were there, and they were given miracles that they demanded. And then they rejected and denied those miracles, but still, that wasn't enough of a sign for them. And so that is always the trait of the disbelievers. No matter even if the signs were to come to them, they wouldn't pay heed, let alone expecting to see those signs or for them to be even clearer. But the believer is the one who sees the signs all the time. Every single moment they see the signs. Every day they see the power of Allah Azza wa Jal manifest in the world around them. And when they see the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, they know how small, how humble, how fragile, how insignificant they are in the universe that Allah Azza wa Jal has created. And were it not for the mercy of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah and the bounties and the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, then me and you would have nothing. And we would be nothing. But Allah Azza wa Jal favored us with Iman. And Allah gave to us Islam. And Allah gave to us the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Quran. And so we use them to elevate ourselves and to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal through Iman and through worship and Ibadah, through good deeds and righteous actions. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal loves. And if that is your mindset, then you're always prepared for that time. You don't need a warning, because you're prepared that any moment could be your last moment. Any day could be your last day. Any act of worship could well be the final act of worship that you perform. And if you can train yourself to be in that mindset, then inshallah you are from those people who will be conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal and prepared for that moment whenever it does strike. But if shaitan overcomes you, he makes you negligent of this, then you'll be living in a state of heedlessness. And there is no guarantee that you will have a warning, just as those people who came before didn't receive the warnings that they too expected. And that is why then Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse 99, أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Do they feel secure against Allah's plan? Only the losers feel secure against Allah's plan. Do the people think, and this is a punishment or a warning and a threat from Allah Azza wa Jal, never feel secure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never think that Allah will not punish you. And that is why the believer is the one who, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, the one who does good deeds and their heart trembles out of fear. Why, O Messenger of Allah, the companions asked, do they tremble out of fear? He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because they fear that Allah may not accept those deeds. They fear that they don't have enough time, that they didn't do enough good. If you look at the statements from the companions and the tabi'een and the scholars of Islam, you will see this concept very predominant in their minds. And that is that they would say, I wish that I would die and there was nothing against me or for me. Or I wish I was like this tree that Allah wouldn't be able to hold, that Allah wouldn't hold me to account. Or I wish that I only knew that one deed Allah had accepted. Just one deed Allah had accepted. And that would be sufficient for me, because I know that at least one thing Allah has accepted. And if I have that hope, then Allah inshallah will accept more. And that is because the believer never falls into that false sense of security that Allah has accepted my deeds, that I've done so many Ramadans, I've prayed so many times, I performed Hajj, I've given my zakah, so therefore I must be getting these thousands upon thousands of rewards or whatever it may be. The believer doesn't know. And that is why they continue to worship Allah. They continue to turn to Allah Azza wa Jal in tawbah. They continue to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for acceptance of our deeds. That is the way that the believers are. Whereas the disbelievers, as Allah says, فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. No one feels secure from Allah's plans except those people who are already lost. Those people who think that they will have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. And so they live in this life of heedlessness. They live a life of negligence. They live a life of not knowing and being aware and recognizing Allah and His rights upon them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, they fall into a great deal of evil. They fall into a great deal of harm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 100, أَوَلَمْ يَهْدِي لِلَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَهْلِهَا أَلَّوْ نَشَاءُ أَصَبْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَنَطْبَعُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Is it not clear to those who inherit the land from former generations that we can punish them too for their sins if we will, and seal up their hearts so they cannot hear? And again, this is a call to reflect upon those people who came before us, to be mindful of the generations that came before us. There were generations that were stronger, that were more powerful, that were more affluent and wealthier. There were generations that lived for longer, that were given blessings that perhaps none of us will ever receive. And yet they denied Allah Azza wa Jalla and they were destroyed as a result. أَوَلَمْ يَهْدِي لِلَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَهْلِهَا. Is it not clear to those, are they not guided, those who inherited the land from the former generations who came before them? Don't they see and learn the lessons, even though till today we see the remnants and the signs and traces of their existence? You can go to Egypt and you can see those ancient Egyptians. From amongst them was Pharaoh. You can go to Greece and you can see the ancient Greek civilization. You can go to the Romans or the Byzantine Romans in their different lands and you can see the manifestations of what they achieved upon the earth. You can go to different parts of the earth, to Petra and to the area where Thamud lived in northern Saudi Arabia today, and to the different places that Allah Azza wa Jal tells us of in the Quran, and those people that lived there and how they lived and what they accomplished and the things that they constructed, and those signs are still there, and you and me have inherited the land from them. Yet the worst of that is to see those signs but to not take benefit from those lessons, to see them and to be amazed by them but to not question what happened to those people and what happened to their mention and what happened to them in terms of iman and disbelief, not in terms of civilization and progression and whatever else it is that they found or invented or did or didn't do, but in terms of iman or lack thereof, iman and kufr. أَلَّوْ نَشَاءُ أَصَبْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And do they not then understand that we can punish them too, just as we punish those who came before them? So the Quraysh are not safe. Didn't they see how Allah destroyed the people who came before them? They're aware of Ad and Thamud and Madian. These were Arab nations that existed before them. Why doesn't Allah Azza, or why can't Allah punish you the way He punished them? And likewise for me and you, if Allah Azza punishes people in different ways or He causes calamities to strike them in different ways, then why can't He do the same to me and you if He so chooses, subhanahu wa ta'ala? What makes you different? What gives you the guarantee that others did not have? وَنَطْبَعُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. And we seal up their hearts also so they cannot hear. Just as the previous people are misguided, it doesn't mean that you too cannot be misguided. And so to appreciate the blessing of Iman, of Tawheed, of guidance, Hidayah, it is something which is extremely important. Never take it for granted. Just because you're born a Muslim, or you happen to be a Muslim now, or you have a Muslim name, or you come from a Muslim culture and identity, never take that Iman for granted. Because when you start to take it for granted, then the things that you take for granted, often you don't appreciate and you don't value. And you often become very lax in the way that you deal with them. And that only causes you then to fall short in fulfilling the rights that those blessings have upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse 101, تِلْكَ الْقُرَانَ قُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَائِهَا وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا كَذَّبُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِ الْكَافِرِينَ. We have told you the stories of those towns. Messengers came to them and clear signs, but they will not believe in what they had already rejected. In this way Allah seals the hearts of the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have given you the stories of these towns, of the people of Nuh and Ad and Thamud and Madian and the people of Lut, and likewise other stories that Allah Azza wa Jalla relates to us in the Quran. We have given you the stories of these people. They had messengers too that came to them. They had clear signs that were given to them. Some of them had divine scriptures that were revealed to them. They had the signs that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to them. فَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا كَذَّبُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ. And they were not going to, they were not prepared to believe in that which they had already rejected. Meaning they were already upon shirk before those messengers came and those prophets came and that guidance came to them. They were not now willing to accept guidance and iman and replace the disbelief that they already had. They weren't willing to do so because it takes courage and bravery. And that is why the people around us that are new Muslims, that are reverts, that accept Islam, they are from the bravest people that you will meet. That type of courage is not the courage necessarily of a fight or physical prowess or a battlefield, but it is the courage of spirit and of the heart and of the soul and of character, that you stand up against everything that you've known for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, everything that you're accustomed to, every mindset that you've had possibly, and all the people around you and what you're accustomed to, and to shun all of that and say, I found a better way. I found the path of truth and guidance. That is what I will accept. And then to start almost again from zero, not knowing how to pray, not knowing what is correct and incorrect, not knowing what is halal or haram, to begin the same way that many of us that were blessed by Allah Azza wa Jalla to be born as Muslims, that we were taught the same things maybe from the age of 5 or 6 or 7. And we learned that as we grew up. And we grew up within that identity of being a Muslim and what that means for many of us. But for others, that's something which they have to learn. And sometimes even born Muslims who didn't really have that childhood, they have to go from the beginning. They may be now in their 20s or their 30s and they decided to learn their religion and to become better Muslims and to make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So in many cases, and there are many people that come to us with that, and they want to learn Islam just the way that you would teach to a non-Muslim or a new Muslim rather, because they don't know how to pray, they don't know how to make wudu, they don't know the basic ABC of reading Quran, because they never had that type of upbringing and tarbiyah. And so those people are brave people, and those people who rejected as these people did, then Allah Azza wa Jal seals their hearts because they didn't have that ability to accept and recognize the guidance as and when it was shown to them. In the final verse that we will take today, verse 102, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِيَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ عَهْدٍ وَإِنْ وَجَدْنَا أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَفَاسِقِينَ. We found that most of them did not honor their commitments. We found that most of them were defiant. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the covenant that we mentioned before in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and the promises and the pacts that they were made and were given, that they should believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla, these were people who did not honor their commitments. They did not honor the covenants that they made. Rather, they were people who were defiant, who were disbelieving people of evil. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla relays to us in this passage that we covered today, almost a synopsis or a conclusion of the stories that we mentioned before of those prophets and the way that the people behaved and how they rejected the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the prophets and messengers that were sent to them. And as a result, Allah Azza wa Jalla did away with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished and destroyed them. And now inshallah from the next episode, that we will now go into the story of another of the amazing messengers of Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the story that he goes through with his people and his nation and the many challenges that he also faces. And Allah Azza wa Jal dedicates a long section of the surah to this prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is the first time that we have the story of Musa alayhi salam in detail from the beginning of the Quran here in Surah Al-A'raf. So inshallah ta'ala, that is what we will discuss in our forthcoming episode bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that he keeps us firm and steadfast upon this religion, and that Allah Azza wa Jal blesses us with iman and with taqwa. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.